The following audio is from LifePoint Church, located in O'Fallon, Missouri. For more information about LifePoint Church, visit us online at thelifepointconnection.com.
Hey, listen, if you've got your Bibles, John chapter 1 is where we're going to be. Let me welcome you. My name's Eric. I'm the lead teaching pastor here at this church, and we are right smack dab in the middle of our Christmas season. And how many of you are ready for Christmas? Okay, all right. Guys, you can start shopping tomorrow. All right, it's going to work out. It's going to be okay. Hey, I wanted to just simply take a moment and ask you kind of a heart question, but it's just simply this. When was the last time that you just kind of pressed pause on your life? When was the last time you pressed pause on your life and really began to examine where you are with God? I mean, when was the last time you just kind of stood still for a moment or stopped with all the running around and the hustle and bustle and you just simply said, God, where am I at with you? Where are you in my life? I'll tell you, honestly, I've been guilty more often than not of going through seasons where I don't pause the way I should pause, that I don't stop the way that I should stop, that I just continue to keep running and going. Have a check engine light on in your car right now? Yeah, I know. There's always people. Yeah. I've been there. There's times in my life where the check engine light comes on, and for whatever reason, I just simply ignore it, or I just keep going, or I just, you know, I don't have time to deal with that. I don't have the energy to deal with that. I don't have the capital, are you with me, to deal with that? Or maybe I'll go thousands or thousands of miles over when the sticker on the window says I should get an oil change. Anybody ever do that? It's because you're like, oh man, I don't really have time. But listen, those lights are there for a reason. Those things pop on for a reason. And listen, in our life, there should be times, there should be opportunities, there should be lights that flash for you that say, hey, you need to pause. You need to take care of this. You need to actually check your heart right now with where you are with God. And so today, I hope that that is one of those days for you. If you're here this morning and there's ever been a moment in your life where you prayed a prayer, ever been a moment in your life where you asked Jesus to forgive you, or you wanted to start this relationship with God, or if there's ever been a moment in your life where you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, but listen to me, somehow, somewhere, throughout time, maybe something happened. Maybe you're not sure what it is, but if you're honest, you kind of wandered away. You kind of went the other direction. And God is not where He needs to be in your life. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you had a bad church experience. I mean, we've all had one or 20 of those, right? And you just felt like, okay, I'm not going to pursue this thing. I'm going to step out of this thing. I'm not going to actually put Him as the focus. Or maybe you moved. Maybe you moved across the state. Maybe you moved across the city. But for whatever reason, something changed in your life, and you just didn't find a place to go or a place to plug in or a place where you could just simply come and pause and be still before God and worship Him. And so you just simply filled your time with other stuff. Or maybe you went to college. Maybe you had a significant shift in your life, and really, if you're honest, worship and God and pausing and asking yourself where you're at with God just really wasn't part of your routine. Maybe you went through a really hard time, and through this season you prayed, but it just felt like, if you were honest, that God just wasn't there. If you were honest, you would just simply say, God, if you're not going to be here for me in this hard times, like, where were you in that hard time? Listen, I don't know if I can really pursue you. Maybe you look around at the Christian culture or Christians in general, and you're honestly, and you just simply say, no, thank you. I don't want any part of that. Maybe you're not real sure what happened at all. Maybe you're drifted away or you've never prayed. Maybe you haven't prayed in a long time. Maybe you never knew that you could actually have a relationship with God. Maybe you didn't see God as someone that you could talk to, someone you could step into, someone that would have a relationship with you. Listen, here's what I know, despite all of that. I know that your story is your story. I also know that this is a safe place for you, and I want to encourage you that it's okay not to be okay. And I also want to tell you this, is that God knows your story. Not only is it your story, but God knows your story. And if you feel like you've given up on God, let me reassure you, God has not given up on you, friend. Amen. He's not walked out. He's not gone the other direction. He's been there the whole time. God is not distant to you. God has not given up on you. God is still pursuing you. And God will never, ever, ever, no matter what, run out on you. And so today, I just want to challenge every single person in the room this morning that whether you grew up in this thing or not, or whether this is your first time ever to church, listen, I want to encourage you. Would you just simply pause for a moment and begin to examine your heart and just take a step in toward God? Maybe you need to reconnect with God. Maybe you haven't prayed in a very long time. I want to challenge you to take a step into God today. The God who loves you. The God who came for you. The God who gave himself up for you. The God who continues to pursue you. Listen, maybe you need to pray for the first time in a long time. Maybe you need to take a step into asking yourself to say, hey, maybe I should start coming back to church. Maybe I should put myself in a place where I can pause more often. Maybe I need to find a place where I can worship. Maybe I need to take a step into making God really a priority in his word and talking to him and having a relationship with him. Maybe the step for you is just simply pray for the first time. Maybe your prayer is a prayer that you haven't prayed in a long time. Maybe your prayer starts something like this: God, I know I haven't talked to you in a while, but here I am, and I want to meet with you. Maybe you taking a step this morning is maybe connecting with a Christian friend, or putting yourself in a mentoring relationship and say, hey, I need someone to help fan that flame. I need someone to kind of push me forward. Maybe for you, a step would be to get into a life group or to put yourself in a family that you can trust and family that would pray for you and encourage you. Because here's what I know. Inside each one of us is a light. Inside each one of us is a light. It's like a spark. It's like an ember. Maybe it goes on and off. Maybe it's on all the time for you. I don't know. But inside each one of us, there's a light. And the reason I know that is because every one of us in our spiritual walk has come to some point in our lives where we just simply say, hey, you know what? I should do that. You ever been there? You ever said to yourself, hey, you know what I should do? I should do this. I really should try and fill in the blank. That's that light saying, hey, you should really step into Christ. You should really step in to what God is calling you to step into. And listen, I believe that that light is the Holy Spirit just trying to woo you and trying to call you and trying to encourage you and trying to beckon to you, saying, hey, take a step toward Christ, will you? So many times, like our cars, we just kind of ignore it and say, I don't have time for that. I don't have the spiritual capital for that, to really pause and examine my life. Today, I want to challenge you. In what is probably the busiest week of your entire year. The new year is right around the corner. Listen, to just simply, even today, just pause and ask yourself the question, where am I at with Jesus? where am I at with God? And I want to challenge you to take a step into him, to engage with Jesus this morning, to re-engage with the God who loves you and gave himself up for you this morning. Maybe it's the first time in a long time, but I want to encourage you to take a step toward God today. Over the last 3 weeks, we've looked at the Christmas story from the book of John. And if you notice, in the book of John, there are no wise men. There's no shepherds, right? There's no angels. There's no virgin birth, right? And it doesn't talk about Jesus coming as a baby into the world, but rather he talks about light, Jesus being the light, coming into our darkness. And so John speaks about Christ coming into the world in a very different, very powerful way. And I love the way John starts this book, because John isn't just simply waiting around, waiting for the readers to figure out who Jesus is. He comes right out swinging. Look at it with me. John chapter 1. Look at what it says. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Everyone say, Word.
Word.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Everyone say, with God. And the Word was God. Everyone say, was God. It says, he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so John comes right out of the gate, and he says, hey, you want to know when Jesus was? Yeah, he was in the beginning. You want to know where Jesus was? Yeah, he was with God. You want to know who Jesus was? Yeah, he is God. Right? He's like, I'm not letting you guys figure it out. I'm telling you straight up, he was with God. He's in the beginning. He's the creator. Everything was made by him and for him. He is God. The very first sentence, he wants us to know that Jesus is the Christ and that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, look at how this plays out, because Jesus comes and Jesus is born and Jesus always has been and Jesus always will be. And Jesus came and he put on flesh and he dwelt among us and he became a baby. But look at what happens in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines. Everyone say shines. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, if you have your Bibles and you have a pen or you're taking notes, I want you to circle that little S that is on the end of shines. Because that little S is a very present reality for you and me. It's a continuing action. The first four verses are all verbs, but all the verbs are past tense until shines comes, and shines makes it very present for you and me, makes it continuing for you and me. So what John is saying here, he's saying the darkness is not something that once was beaten. It's something that has been beaten once and for all time, and the darkness is continuing to be overcome. Are you with me? Now, that's good news for you if you ever find yourself in darkness. That's why we sing. That's why we rejoice, because Christ came and his light shines.
Amen.
Now, this is phenomenal news, because the light of Christ can shine right now in your darkness. The light of Christ shines in your darkness. And your darkness, listen to me, will not overcome the light of Christ. Your darkness will not overcome the light of Christ. The light of the Word made flesh. Who is in the beginning with God? And who is in the beginning? God. He came and he put on flesh, and his light can be seen right here now today in your life. In the same way that the light shines in the birth, in the same way the light shines through the darkness at the crucifixion, the same way the light shines upon his beautiful resurrection, the light is continuing right here, now, today, in your life. Think about the darkness on the cross. Think about that whole scenario. Jesus comes into town, people shouting, mocking, cursing him, call for his crucifixion. They beat him. They nail him to a cross. And the reason why that is because all of my sin and all of your sin deserves death. And Jesus came, and it says that he dies the death that we deserve to die. And so upon the cross, all the wrath of God toward all of our sin was poured out upon Jesus. And so you've got darkness of sin. You've got darkness of death. Upon the cross, you've got darkness of oppression from the Roman government. On the cross, you see darkness of overbearing rules and religion. You ever been there? I mean, the to-do list of the Jews, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, so that God would like you. You've got all of the religion coming down to the cross, and every darkness, even guilt, even shame of the disciples, it says that all the disciples scattered. So upon the cross, you've got guilt of the men who walked with Jesus turning their back when he hangs on the cross. But when Jesus raises from the grave, the light, it pierces through. The light, it shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not win. And so follow me, because if there's darkness in your life today, and it's tied to sin, if the darkness in your life today is tied to temptation or struggle, listen to me, the light shines in your darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If the darkness in your life today, it seems like some sort of scheme or oppression or weight that has come against you, listen to me, the light, it shines in your darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If the darkness in your life seems to be the weight of some type of religion or duty or do this or don't do that, or else God's going to get you, listen, the light shines through the religious darkness of the world, and the darkness has not overcome the light. He's not overcome your light. Listen, and if your darkness is an overbearing weight of guilt as a disciple or a follower of Jesus because somehow along the way you turned your back on him, listen, the light shines in your darkness and is not overcome it. Amen. Jesus wants to meet you no matter your darkness this morning. And some of you are like, Eric, that is good news. Can you talk to me about how that happens? Well, let me just tell you, honestly, it starts with a step. It starts with a step of you saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I'm in a dark place. I need you. Jesus, I'm weary. I'm broken. I'm lost. I'm struggling here. I need you. It starts by taking a step. It starts by taking a step of faith into the light. Look at verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. So here you have Jesus, who was in the beginning with God, Jesus, who is God, Jesus, who is the life of all mankind, the Jesus, who is the light of the world, coming in and putting on flesh and coming to us. And Jesus came to bring life into our deadness and light into our darkness. And the scriptures say that people, when they saw him, not only did they not receive him, but they didn't want him. They didn't even want him. Like when they walked and talked and saw Jesus, they thought, oh yeah, I know Jesus. Isn't he the guy who healed the leper? Oh yeah, Jesus, isn't he the guy that fed a bunch of people with a fish? Oh yeah, I know Jesus. Isn't he the one that all those crowds and all those people are following? Oh yeah, I know Jesus. Some of you are here today and you say, yeah, I know Jesus. But honestly, if you're honest, you don't want him. You never really received him. And so others of you may go, yeah, I see who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is the one who died for my sins. And some of you need to reconnect this morning, and some of you will say no, thank you. For Jesus to be revealed, as the Christ. For Jesus to be revealed as the Son of God, the light of the world, and yet to be rejected by men. Listen to me. It always is because of one reason. There's only one reason. Typically, people will reject Jesus. Pride. Pride is the reason that men will reject him. Because honestly, some of you believe that you don't even need Jesus. You don't even need Jesus because you think God accepts morality. You don't need Jesus. You think you don't need Jesus because you're looking around saying, no, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a pretty good girl. I haven't made too bad of mistakes. And you look around and you start to justify your strengths with other people's weaknesses and say, look, I'm better than that guy. I'm better than her. I don't need Jesus. I'm doing pretty well myself. I don't think I need Jesus because you think you're not that bad. And you, my friend, are under the assumption that Christ accepts good behaving boys and girls. Sure, I made a few mistakes, but I'm not that bad. I mean, I'm here, aren't I? That's got to count for something. Many people, they think they don't need Jesus because they think that God accepts morality. Listen, I got to be straight with you. God doesn't accept that. God does not accept behavior for righteousness. The Bible even says that even your good deeds, even you on your best day, is not righteous and holy before God. Listen, if we could be good enough for God to accept us, then there is no need for Christmas. Then Jesus didn't have to come. Jesus didn't have to be rejected by men. Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. Listen, if we could just somehow earn or merit or work this thing out on our own, then God would have said, okay, just go do your thing and I'll watch you from afar and see how you do. But he knew that none of us could make it. None of us could earn it. None of us could be good enough. That's why Christmas. That's why Jesus came. And so if you're here this morning and you're like, I don't need Jesus, I don't hurt kids. I mean, I don't need Jesus, I haven't killed anyone. I don't need Jesus, I go to church instead. Behavior, religious actions, good stuff that you do, God does not accept in regards to salvation. You can't earn it. That's why we need a Savior. So it's easy to see how that type of pride would lead us away from receiving Jesus. It's easy to say, oh, that type of pride is easy. Oh, yeah, I can see how someone would reject Jesus if they don't think they need Jesus. But what about the other type of pride? The second prideful reason people will reject Jesus is because you believe that God will reject you. Eric, how's that pride? You believe that God will reject you, meaning you believe that you personally have somehow out-sinned the power of the cross and the resurrection on your behalf. You believe that somehow your sin is greater than the work of God for your sin. You're like, I'm too far gone. I've done too much. I can't be received. I'm unlovable. Whatever you've done, whatever you've been, even on your worst day, you cannot somehow out-sin the love and the grace of Jesus for you. Amen. You can't do it. And so don't build yourself. Don't give yourself that much credit. I've done too much. No, you haven't. You're not stronger than Christ. You're not stronger than the Savior of the world who's come and died in your place. You're not stronger than that. You're not too wicked to overcome that good. Because if that were the case, we'd all be lost. Oh, if you're taking notes, write this down. The good and perfect work of Jesus for you outshines any of the darkness that is in you and overcomes any darkness done by you. That's why we sing. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Because I was in a dark place and the light shines in my darkness, and not even my darkness will overcome it. That's good news. The light shines, and the light does always win. Now, why is it so important for us to take that step? To take that step into Christ, the one who came and lived for me and died for me. Why do I need to lay down my pride and say, yeah, I need Jesus. Yeah, I'm not too far gone. I need Jesus to break through. Look at what happens in verse 12. In 11, it says he came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. But verse 12 says, but to all who did receive him. Everyone say receive. Receive. That's taking a step into Christ. That's saying, I see him for who he is. I know what he's done for me. I know that he's offering himself to me in his life and his light. I want to receive him. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen. Listen, he gave us something like a gift. On Christmas morning, he comes with a gift and he gives us, what does he give us? He gives us the right to become children of God. He allows us not to be remaining in darkness, but he allows us to be a child of the light. Look at what it says. He allows us to become children of God. And those children were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Listen to me. You and I become children of God through faith alone. Putting our faith, our trust in Jesus, laying down our pride and saying, I want you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Come into my life, Jesus. Shine your light into my darkness, Jesus. Show me your glory, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. That's how we receive Christ. That's a step. Follow me. You and I do not become believers through our bloodline, which means you are not born a Christian. No one has been a Christian their entire life. Are you with me on that? There's not one person who says, I've been a Christian my entire life. No, you haven't, because you're not born that way. There had to be a point where the Holy Spirit comes and sets fire to your heart and tells you you need Jesus. Now, maybe you lived in a Christian home, and by the grace of God, your parents came and shared the gospel with you. Like they put kindling or firewood around your little heart, maybe blew some air on it, but it was the Holy Spirit who came and lit that thing up. Amen. And so you're not born a Christian. Your parents' faith is your parents' faith. It's not yours. Maybe your parents, by the grace of God, maybe did something to help you along that way, but your parents' faith is your parents' faith. You are not saved through bloodline. Now, listen to this, because it says that not only were you not saved through an inheritance, but you have not been saved by the will of flesh. And what that means is you didn't white-knuckle work your way to God. You didn't somehow get the ladder out, start climbing the mountain and say, I'm going to go meet with God and I'm going to be good enough. I'm going to be smart enough. I'm going to be religious enough for God to be pleased with me. So all of your, I'm going to do better. I'm going to try harder. Lord, will you just simply accept my efforts? Listen, morality cannot save us. Your best efforts cannot clean yourself before God. You and I need a Savior. And God doesn't look at you and go, oh, okay, you used to get high, but now you don't? Okay, so you used to get drunk, but now you don't? Oh, okay, you used to lie, you used to cheat, you used to steal, you used to live for yourself, but now you're not so much a scoundrel? Oh, you're better than your neighbor? Come on in. That looks good enough for me. Listen, you are not saved by your works. You don't inherit this thing. It's not the will of man. It's not the will of flesh. He says, if you believe, if you receive Jesus, you become a child of God. And so let me just ask you, what does your step of faith look like if that's true? For every one of us, it starts with trusting Jesus, and it starts with receiving Jesus. Maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you've been doing this thing for a while, but maybe there's a dark area in your life and you need to receive Jesus in that today. Maybe you've neglected him. Maybe you haven't prayed to him. Maybe you haven't stepped into him and you just simply go to church instead. Listen, today, would you just simply pause and ask yourself the question, where am I at with God? What's my relationship look like? So this morning, it starts by receiving him. But it also continues as remembering him and his sacrifice for us. And so before the Christmas festivities hit us like a truck full speed, I want to pause for just a moment. And I want to ask each one of you to receive and remember why he came. He came to bring life to our deadness. Amen. And light to our darkness. One of the ways that the Bible encourages us to remember is through communion. And so today, I want to remind you that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. After giving thanks before his disciples, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He says, "I'm going to break my body so that your body could be whole." He says, "Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me. As often as you eat this, often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me so that when you are in a dark place, you remember that I was broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup and he says, "This is my blood. This is the new covenant. This is the covenant that you don't earn, but you receive. By faith, this is my blood, which was poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink and do it in remembrance of me." And so listen to me. Without the shedding of blood, our sins are not forgiven. But because Jesus shed his blood, all of our sins can be forgiven. As the band comes, I want to just simply close with 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Because I want to ask you to take a step this morning. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But listen to me, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." How much sin? All sin. His blood cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, not only does Jesus forgive our sins through his blood, but he cleanses us from all the unrighteousness that sin leads to. Amen. He makes us pure. He makes us white. He washes us. He cleanses us. Listen, you know what that means? That means the light still shines. Amen. It still shines. And the light wants to shine in your darkness, in your weariness. It wants to shine in your brokenness. It wants to shine despite your past, despite your current struggles, despite what lies ahead. Listen, the light still shines. And the darkness will not, cannot overcome it. Will you pray with me? Oh, good Lord. The one who's come to save us. You're the one who came to redeem us. You are alive now and forevermore. And right now, we pause before you. Search our hearts. Search our minds. Lord Jesus, I ask right now that your light would shine and pierce through my struggles, my mistakes, my shortcomings. I pray that right now, no matter where we find ourselves this morning, that your Holy Spirit would spark faith in us. That today we would receive you as life. Oh, Jesus, come. Come in this busy season. Come in my darkness and be the light. What would you be my light again? Oh God, we need you. Jesus, we need you. In your gracious, gracious, precious name. In the name that is above all names, the name that means salvation, come. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.